So I'm going to give you a minute to find the verse on the phone. It's Canto 10, chapter 2, text 19. So that's Canto 10, chapter 2, text 19. I gave class on this verse at Janmashtami time, because it's about Krishna's birth. But it's also about Sankirtan, it's about preaching. And so it's very relevant. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Devaki then kept within herself the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the foundation of the entire cosmos. But because she was under arrest in the house of Kamsa, she was like the flames of a fire covered by the walls of a pot, or like a person who has knowledge but cannot distribute it to the world for the benefit of human society. Purport. In this verse, the word jnana kala is most significant. Knowledge is meant for distribution. Although there is already much scientific knowledge, whenever scientists or philosophers awaken to a particular type of knowledge, they try to distribute it throughout the world, for otherwise the knowledge gradually dries up and no one benefits from it. India has the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, but unfortunately, for some reason or other, this sublime knowledge of the science of God was not distributed throughout the world, although it is meant for all of human society. Therefore, Krishna himself appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ordered all Indians to take up the cause of distributing the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita throughout the entire world. Jari Deka Tari Koho Krishna Upadesh Amara Gyaya Guru Hoya Tara E Desh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. Majalila 7.128. Although India has the sublime knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Indians have not done their proper duty of distributing it. Now, therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement has been set up to distribute this knowledge as it is, without distortion. Although previously there were attempts to distribute the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, these attempts involved distortion and compromise with mundane knowledge. But now the Krishna consciousness movement, without mundane compromises, is distributing Bhagavad Gita as it is, and people are deriving benefits of awakening to Krishna consciousness and becoming devotees of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the proper distribution of knowledge has begun, by which not only will the whole world benefit, but India's glory will be magnified in human society. Kamsa tried to arrest Krishna consciousness within his house, Bhojendra Gehi, with the result that Kamsa, with all his opulences, was later vanquished. Similarly, the real knowledge of Bhagavad Gita has been choked by unscrupulous Indian leaders, with the result that India's culture and knowledge of the Supreme were being lost. Now, however, because Krishna consciousness is spreading, the proper use of Bhagavad Gita is being attempted. Sa devaki sarva jagan nivasa nivasa bhuta nitarang nareji bhojendra gehekni shike varudha sarasvati gyanakale yatasati. Devaki then kept within herself the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the foundation of the entire cosmos. But because she was under arrest in the house of Kamsa, she was like the flames of a fire covered by the walls of a pot, or like a person who has knowledge but cannot distribute it to the world for the benefit of human society. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I feel particularly unqualified to give a class on the Sankirtan, the marathon, because I don't generally go out. I generally sponsor. But of course, I go out in groups throughout the year, and Harinam Sankirtan isn't complete unless there are devotees there distributing. Makes it more complete. For me, the perfect Harinam Sankirtan involves book distribution, chanting party, prasad distribution, and dancing. It's very nice to have dancers. Prabhupada said dancing, chanting, feasting is the pillars of this movement. And then he says, and if you like, in other words, if you need convincing, then we have so many books, so much philosophy. So in one sense, the books aren't so central, because just by chanting you can become self-realized. But Prabhupada also said, it is very important that we learn this knowledge, because then we can convince others. Therefore, for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness, the books are vital, because they give us the potency by which we can convince others philosophically. And the books themselves are recorded chanting. So I will bring up a little quote in relation to that. Actually, I just decided to make a little PDF file of some nice quotes that I thought would be very relevant. And before I continue, I request the blessings of our Sankirtan book distribution quote-unquote acharya, who's been doing it for many decades, Vishwambar Prabhu, who always encourages us in our book distribution. And is very happy, very glad to see Swayam Kesava Maharaj is back from India, back to do the marathon. Are you doing the marathon? Yeah. I remember many years ago I was in India, and I came back from India to do it was called the Christmas Marathon in those days. We've changed it to the Prabhupada Marathon, but I did it in Sydney. And it's kind of, as some of you may know, when you go from India to back to the West, it can take a few days to adjust, because generally your body's a little bit weaker and your head's a little bit funny because India's just a kind of funny place. I find it a very weird place. All this heat, and these Indians, they have, you know, they're always trying to get something from tourists, and because I've got white skin, I'm a tourist, and you just have a funny mentality when you come back. So it took me a while to adjust, but I went straight into this Christmas marathon, and after 2 days I almost had a mental breakdown. The adjustment was too much. So I went to the temple president of Sydney and I kind of told him, you know, I can't do this because my head's not in the right space. And I was kind of expecting sympathy from him, but he just kind of laughed at me and said, you know, if you really want to get into Krishna consciousness, you know, you want to get past stage one, then you've got to really get into the Sankirtan. So many people come to Krishna consciousness, but they don't really get it. If you want to go deep into Krishna consciousness, you have to do Sankirtan. So he kind of jolted me. And so from then on, I managed to do the rest of the marathon without a break. I did long hours and I did really well. But it wasn't book distribution marathon. It was called, or we called it, Kankirtan. Collecting on a street with a bucket. And the mantra was, it's a medium for surrender, because there were book distributors in the temple who were very unhappy to be collecting straight, collecting as in donations, but not without giving out books. Now, one of my friends, he was a very prolific book distributor, so he had a little strategy. 2 weeks before the marathon started, he would do long days on book distribution, and he'd withhold some of the money. So then during the marathon, he would do some collecting with cans, and then he'd do straight book distribution, but then he'd pull out the money that he kept from before so that he could do book distribution during the marathon and still give scores that were high enough that the temple president didn't figure out that he was out doing book distribution. Anyway, there's some truth in medium of surrender. I mean, Srila Prabhupada, he had some of his disciples who were spending 18 hours a day on the streets in Japan, places like that, and they were collecting in order to fund the building of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. So there is some justification for it. But from the point of view of kirtan, what does kirtan mean? Kirtan means, or sankirtan, it means describing the glories of Krishna. Vyasaki kirtane. Vyasaki means Shukadev Goswami. He became perfect from kirtan. But what was his kirtan? It wasn't chanting Hare Krishna, it was preaching Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Shravani, and Parikshit heard it, Therefore, he became self-realized through hearing. So kirtan, sometimes people ask, is book distribution sankirtan? Remember, Ayendra Prabhu, you know, he famously said, he got a letter, or the temple got a letter from Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, I'm so happy that you're doing the sankirtan and book distribution. And he had this realization, wait a minute, I thought book distribution was sankirtan. And then for him it meant, no, sankirtan means congregational chanting, and book distribution is something else. Now there's some truth in that, but it's not the whole truth. For a start, Brihat Kirtan, or Acharyas, they refer to book distribution as Brihat Kirtan or Brihat Madanga. So there's the word Kirtan. Now, if you want to know what is the Yuga Dharma, well, that's an interesting question. And I'll give you two verses from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and they have different meanings. One is Kali Yuge Yuga Dharma Namara Prachar. The Yuga Dharma is propagation of the holy name. Namara Prachar means to propagate the holy name. And the other verse is Kaliye Kalera Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan. The Yuga Dharma is Nam Sankirtan. Now Nam Sankirtan is different from book distribution because kirtan has different categories. Nam Sankirtan means chanting the holy names. Now if you describe Krishna's form, that's Rupa Kirtan. If you describe Krishna's qualities, that's Guna Kirtan. Describe Krishna's pastimes, Leela Kirtan. When you're out on book distribution, because you're talking about Krishna, you're engaged in Kirtan, but it's not Nam Kirtan, unless you've got an unusual way of distributing books. I mean, you might just have a book in your hand and just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, and hope that someone takes the book. I mean, I've been on Harinams where a devotee was doing that and actually getting results, just holding the book and showing it and chanting Hare Krishna mantra, and some people take, you know. It's an unusual way to do Kirtan. Anyway, so if you take these meanings, then the Yuga Dharma, because the Yuga Dharma is Namara Prachar, and because book distribution is spreading the holy name, then the book distribution activity is the Yuga Dharma. And we can expand it even further. In the Vision 2020 document, there's a statement, it's all Sankirtan. So what do you think of that statement? Pramanava, is it all Sankirtan? What do you think? As in every service of Sankirtan? Yes, I agree with you. It is and it isn't. Oh, there's the mic. Tell me what you think. I'm asking you because I know you're gonna support book distribution. That's why I'm asking you. Yes. Yes.
He's also Smosa Sankirtan.
Yes.
But it's not.
Exactly. Because, so, here's how I look at it. Deity worship, is it Sankirtan? Well, it depends who comes. If it's for the purposes of spreading Krishna consciousness, then it's Sankirtan. So if we have people going out distributing books, and then they take people back to the temple, and then the people that come back to the temple, they see the deities, and they fall in love with the deities, then the pujari is part of the Sankirtan mission, because the pujari has helped bring these jivas to Krishna. But what happens if no one's going out on Sankirtan, and no one comes to the temple, then the pujaris aren't engaged in Sankirtan because it's not really propagating the holy name. They're just engaging in devotional service for their own benefit, you see. So the reason why everything is Sankirtan is because there's Sankirtan going on. So if we want everything in this temple to be Sankirtan, then there must be Sankirtan going on at the same time that the preaching must be going on. And therefore everything, cleaning the temple, becomes part of the whole process of Sankirtan, you see. So myself and Premanava, we have a little proposal, and we're trying to get it ratified, that we have more book distribution, Harinam Sankirtan, at Bhaktivedanta Manor throughout the year. And I've thought about it, and I can't think of any good reason why we can't organize this. And I'll give you some of the reasons why someone might object. One person might say, we're too busy with other service. My response to that is, we have a huge property, therefore we just have a few extra people coming and staying here, and they can devote themselves to regular Sankirtan, or they can cover other people who can also do regular Sankirtan. That way everyone gets the chance to do regular Sankirtan. The Matadis Ashram, sometimes it's quite big. There's enough people that the marriages can go out on regular Harinam and book distribution. And I used to go out on Thursday Harinam with several of the marriages every Thursday. But sometimes the ashram gets a little small and it's difficult to cover all the services. But my point is, because this temple is so big and there's so many rooms, it must be possible to have a few extra people staying here all the time. Therefore, we can have Sankirtan throughout the year. So I'm just hoping, does anyone disagree with this? Is this a good idea or not? Put your hand up if you think it's a bad idea. Okay? Put your hand up if you think it's a good idea. Do we have unanimous? Oh, almost everyone. That's great. So everyone agrees it's a good idea, pretty much. Therefore, we just have to do it, right? Isn't it? If we have an obstacle, the obstacle is, well, it's a good idea, therefore there's no excuse to not do it, we just have to do it. And we'll find a way to do it. And it needs to be a team effort. I can't do it by myself, because no one's going to go out and book distribution because I tell them to, because they're going to say, well, you don't go out and book distribution. And I say, well, I kind of do, but not really. But I can take people out in Harinam Sangatam. But Pramanava can tell them to do book distribution, and they'll listen to him because he actually does it. Because you have to practice what you preach. And if you don't, you have no empowerment. So that's my plug. So I'm glad everyone agrees. And I'm going to tell the authorities that I asked everyone at the Bhagavatam class, and it was almost unanimous that everyone agreed it's a good idea, and no one said it was a bad idea. So that's a little extra reason, or hopefully we'll be successful in implementing this. Anyway, so going back, we were discussing the meaning of Sankirtan. And so Nam Sankirtan means congregational chanting, and book distribution is also considered the Yuga Dharma, because it's Namara Prachar. So I'm going to bring some quotes that I was inspired to share with you on different topics. This is from Prabhupada Memories. And this is Shyama Sundar talking. And I've not got a quote here, but this is roughly what he said. He goes, in the beginning, we took a risk for Krishna. And Prabhupada said, if you take a risk for Krishna, Krishna's obliged to make you successful. So at that time, they would take all kinds of risks for Krishna. And he gives them one example. They had no money. And one time they were walking down the street. And then suddenly all these, I think it was $50 bills, just started floating down from some skyscraper building. And you don't know what it was. I mean, what was that all about? So they were just grabbing all this money from the street. So the point was, they were engaged in spreading Krishna consciousness, but they had no money. But Krishna provided, you see. So Shyama Sundar Prabhu, he says very sagaciously, or very important, significantly, he says, this spirit has died down. Yeah? And he actually said, we got to see Krishna. He didn't explain what that meant. Did he have a vision of Krishna? Did he feel Krishna? Narad Muni, when he had darshan of Krishna, what did he do afterwards? He just engaged in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada in the purport, is in the first canto, says, engaging in Sankirtan is the same as seeing Krishna. If we actually engage in Sankirtan, that's the same as seeing Krishna. So we'll see Krishna either that way, or we'll actually get a vision of Krishna. So Shyama Sundar Prabhu says that spirit has died down. So we always have this struggle. We have to always get that sweet spirit, Sankirtan spirit. You know. So Sankirtan, devotional service can be carried out under the different modes of nature. So if you do the Prabhupada Marathon, this is Krishna consciousness in the mode of goodness, or if you're even more advanced, it's transcendental. So why is it in the mode of goodness? What are the symptoms of happiness in the mode of goodness? It's like poison in the beginning, nectar in the end. So before a Prabhupada marathon, you get anxious. It's an austerity. And during the marathon, you get anxious, you wake up, you don't get enough sleep, you get cold, it's austere, so it's poison. But there's some nectar coming at the same time, you see. What's the alternative? You don't take part in that event, you don't do the yajna, and you maybe stay at the temple and get the Mahaprasadam. So that's nectar. That's nectar in the beginning. But at the end of that month, you're feeling really bad because everyone else is ecstatic and you didn't get the same ecstasy and you feel bad. So that's happiness in the mode of passion. It's nectar in the beginning, poison in the end, you see. So we should opt for austerity, which is poison in the beginning, nectar in the end. And that's happiness in the mode of goodness, and in the case of Krishna consciousness, it's transcendental. So, where does the Sankirtan movement appear in Lord Chaitanya's Leela? Well, we have Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur going door to door. But what is the meaning of the Sankirtan mission? What are we distributing? So, here's some verses from Adi Leela, chapter 7, text 20. I'll read several verses. The characteristics of Krishna are understood to be a storehouse of transcendental love. Although that storehouse of love certainly came with Krishna when he was present, it was sealed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates of the Panchatattva, they broke the seal and plundered the storehouse to taste transcendental love of Krishna. The more they tasted it, the more their thirst for it grew. Next verse. Sri Panchatattva themselves danced again and again and thus made it easier to drink nectarian love of Godhead. They danced, cried, laughed, and chanted like madmen. And in this way, they distributed love of Godhead. Next verse. In distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not where such distribution should or should not take place. They made no conditions. Wherever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva distributed love of Godhead. Although the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed its contents, there was no scarcity, for this wonderful storehouse is so complete that as the love is distributed, the supply increases hundreds of times. So this last verse is very significant. The more you distribute it, the more the supply comes. So today's verse in the Bhagavatam had the phrase Jnana Kala. Anyone remember that phrase? What does it mean? Jnana Kala. It means one has knowledge but cannot distribute it. So the secret for us to become advanced spiritually, for us to get spiritual knowledge, the secret is we have to distribute it. That is the qualification. If we don't distribute it, we don't have the qualification to receive it. So there's a phrase, atmaha, which means killer of the soul. So it can mean a meat eater. It can also mean someone who does not give spiritual knowledge. It has its double meaning, atmaha. And the fourth verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nivritatar Shaya Rupagiyamanad Bhavashirat Chotram Manobiramat Kautama Shloka Gunan Vada Pumam Virajeta Bina Pashugnat. Who will not listen to the beautiful pastimes of Krishna except for Pashugnat, a killer of the soul? These pastimes are especially for the Navritatar Shire, those who have given up material enjoyment, and they take this knowledge as Bhavaushidat Chotram, Mano Biramat. It's the medicine for killing the material disease. Bhava Aushidat. Aushadi means a herb. So Bhavaushidach Chotra Manobiramat, by hearing this spiritual knowledge, our material propensity is vanquished. So this verse is very significant because it tells us how we can taste the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to become Pashugnat. Now Pashu generally means animal, but I heard one class where Prabhupada said Pashu means the soul. So Pashugnat also means killer of the soul or someone who does not give spiritual knowledge to themselves and to others. Now, we have four regular principles. One of them is no meat eating. In the Gaudiya Mat, the four pillars were described slightly differently, and the pillar of no meat eating was described as it was not being a killer of the soul, and the explanation was given. It means to always give Krishna consciousness under all circumstances. So if we neglect to give Krishna consciousness to another person, we are atmaha, or killer of the soul, and that is one of the regulative principles that the Gaudiya Mat described as. No, we call it no meat eating. They say no meat eating and no preaching, you see. So I sometimes wish Prabhupada had actually included that in the vows. Because imagine we'd all have vowed, we have to always spread Krishna consciousness. It's part of our vow, 24 hours a day. Of course, we're sleeping, we don't do it. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Siddha Ram Lakshman Hanumana Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. So it's said that Kamsa, if you remember the purport, Kamsa tried to arrest Krishna consciousness in his house, and as a result he was vanquished. So that Prabhupada said there is nothing can stop this Sankirtan movement. There are no obstacles. Any obstacle is just a figment of our imagination. In the early days, the devotees would do Sangatan and get arrested, and then they would go to court, and then they go to prison, or sometimes they go to court. But somehow or other, everything always worked out. There's one example, Tribhuvanath Prabhu, he had so many, you know, he was arrested so many times, and he went before the judge, and he just spoke his real reason. I'm there to give Krishna consciousness, I'm serving my spiritual master, etc., etc. And the judge said, this man is very noble, he's doing some great work, and he got let off. So all the fines that he had, the judge just threw them away, you see. So if we always take shelter of Krishna, then we will always be protected under all circumstances. So I'm going to read you some quotes about book distribution. Here's a letter to Rupanuga, 9th of October, 1974. Book distribution is also chanting. These books I have recorded and chanted, and they are transcribed. It is spoken kirtans. So book distribution is also chanting. These are not ordinary books. It is recorded chanting. Anyone who reads, he is hearing. Book distribution must not be neglected. Here's a letter to Shruta Dev, 24th of October, 1974. So I am always emphasizing book distribution. It is the better kirtan. It is better than chanting. Of course, chanting should not be stopped. But book distribution is the best kirtan. Remember that chanting should not be stopped. Generally, in the old days, the good old days, book distribution and Harinam Sankirtan were side by side. And one time they wrote to Prabhupada and said, the local authorities are giving us problems by chanting. Is it okay to do book distribution by itself? And I found that letter very interesting because they should actually ask permission to not engage in Hare Krishna, in Nam Sankirtan at the same time as book distribution. And Prabhupada's reply was, yes, it's good because it's also kirtan. Here's Gopa Brindapal, Prabhupada disciple, prolific book distributor. And here's what he said. I said something about, when we distribute your books, Prabhupada, he stopped me and said, do you know what book distribution means? I wanted to think of something quickly to save my skin, but I couldn't. So I said, actually, I don't know that there is a lot of... I know that there is a lot of depth to it and things about it that I don't understand. He turned to me, that's Prabhupada, Prabhupada turned to me with a strong glance and said, book distribution means distribution of knowledge. It's very important, we have to understand. Distribution of knowledge. It's not about book scores. It's not about collecting a bit of money. It's about big distribution of knowledge. Prabhupada goes on, do not forget this. It wasn't a sales thing. He didn't look at the distribution of his books as something that would be done with a sales mentality, but rather with the mentality that we were giving knowledge to people who needed it. Here's another pastime. Prabhupada pulled out the Bhagavatam and slowly and carefully read the verse. This Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun. He said, this verse is so wonderful. If you just tell people this verse, how can they resist? You don't need to say anything. The Srimad Bhagavatam will sell itself. And one time, some of the temple devotees asked, you say that the managers should be shy, but then you send them out on book distribution and they have to be interacting. And Prabhupada said, we can be a lion on the chase and a lamb at home. And here's a quote from Rameshwar, also from Prabhupada Memories. We asked Prabhupada very specifically if the book distribution created some kind of subtle spiritual atmosphere in the world. Because even though we gave out millions of books, millions of people were not joining from taking those books. Prabhupada said, that is exactly what it was. The benefit of taking these books and hearing in public the chanting of the holy names on Harinam Sankirtan was and is creating and will create a spiritual environment that will awaken souls, whatever their denomination. This was the powerful realization that Prabhupada shared with us about book distribution. So that's a wonderful confirmation of Srila Prabhupada that the whole spiritual atmosphere is changing just by distributing Prabhupada's books. Now, previously I read this statement where Prabhupada said, books are recorded chanting. So this is very significant because on one occasion, in one conversation, Prabhupada said, you should hear from the pure devotee. And he said, but even if you hear yourself, you can become self-realized. Because sometimes people have a philosophy that you can't become self-realized from the books. And they say you have to hear from the lips of the pure devotee, and the books are not the same, therefore the potency is not in the book. Now, my understanding, I've researched this, my understanding is it is indeed the case that there is more potency from hearing from the lips of the pure devotee, but Prabhupada never said that the books themselves don't have the potency for us to become self-realized. And there are a number of quotes where he actually says that. He actually says it is recorded chanting. He says even if the person is not present, the sound vibration is still there with the books. So when we read Prabhupada's books, we can actually have the realization that Prabhupada is actually directly talking with us. And some people have that. When they read Prabhupada books, they've had the experience that it felt like Prabhupada was actually speaking to them, the books, you see. So there's not something, as Gopa Vrindapal said, there's something very deep that I don't understand about it. But that is the depth of this book distribution. If we understand the depth of Srila Prabhupada's books, how they are actually recorded chanting, how by reading it, we're actually entering into the spiritual world, we can actually access Krishna's pastimes. If we actually understand the spiritual nature of those books, then of course we will have the desire to distribute it. So that verse I quoted from the 10th canto, Nivritata Shairu Pagiya Marad Bhavaushidats Chotramanobi Ratka Mutama Shloka Gunana Vadad Pumambi Rajeta Bina Pashugnat. We should understand that the whole way that we can advance in Krishna consciousness is to give it to others. Why did we come to Krishna? Because of someone else's effort. I came to Krishna through receiving Prabhupada's books. I didn't see any Harinam Sankirtan. I didn't see any temple. I never knew there existed a temple. I never went to a Nam Hat. For about 3 years, I just picked up books in Edinburgh on the street from Sankirtan devotees. And Krishna, I later on discovered, the experiences I had were like, they felt like they were mystical experiences. And I later discovered that the devotees that were on the street, some of them actually weren't by normal judgment very advanced. Some of them had actual spiritual problems. One of them, he was out of prison, and his spiritual master had told him, the only reason I gave you initiation is because I wanted you to distribute Prabhupada's books. Didn't think he was actually really qualified for initiation. But I took a book from him, and I was waiting. He was talking to someone on Princes Street, which is the main street of Edinburgh, and I was fascinated because there he was with a shaved head and a shika, and I was thinking, that's really weird. It's just, ugh. But at the same time, I was very attracted. What is this person all about? And he was talking to someone, so I waited. And then when he finished, I came up to him, and he pointed to me, and he said, you're not this body. And when he pointed to me, my heart started beating. I got palpitations. And I was like, this is empowered. There's some empowerment going on here. I didn't really understand what it was. But how could someone, just by pointing at me, they could make my heart start beating really fast. I could feel it. And at that time, I was sick. I'd like had a bad experience. I went to university, dropped out of university. I was just confused. I was a spiritual seeker, but I had a real bad experience. My life was falling apart. And I was suffering like anything. And my heart was like really hard as a rock. So when he pointed to me, I felt, oh, I feel like life, there's life coming to me here. On another occasion, actually the first time I ever met a devotee, the first time I ever heard the word Krishna, I was 19 years old, and it was from a book that I got from this devotee. It was actually Yugala Kishore, some of you may know him from Scotland, although he's originally from Holland or Amsterdam or something. Anyway, he just saw me, and he said, I've got some books for you. And I was thinking, what is this all about? And I looked into his eyes, and I swear his eyes were like, they were like orange, shiny orange on the inside. And I couldn't figure it out. I mean, I've known him for years now, and his eyes are never like that. But for some reason, someone was playing tricks on me, and I looked into his eyes, and they were like bright orange. And about 2 days later, I went to the library, and I went to the philosophy section. And there was one of Prabhupada's books, Nectar of Devotion. And I picked it up and opened it up at a random page. And it said, one of the symptoms of love of Godhead is that the color of your eyes changes. And I started thinking, he must have love of Godhead. I mean, I since reassessed my judgment on that. So anyway, but why we have these experiences? Because Krishna's acting. But the importance of Sadhu Sangha, this is the importance of Sadhu Sangha. I had about 14 books by the time I went to the first Namhat. Actually, it was Yugala Kishore was at the Namhat, and he said, why are you here? And I said, I've got some books. Oh, really? What books do you have? And I said, I've got about 14 of them, and his jaw dropped. He couldn't understand how someone could have 14 books. I said, but if the people are going on the street every day and I meet them, you know, I'm just going to pick up these books. But I never even knew about Japa. I was just reading the books, and I was looking at the pictures of these forearm forms with you know, blue complexion, and I was thinking, this is really wild, because I was into Buddhism at the time. But I was just very much attracted to these books. But the thing is, it doesn't come together unless you actually meet someone who tells you what you should do, or you need to chant, you need to do this, you need to offer your food, and then it all came together. But it doesn't always not come together. Keshava Ramash has the famous example. He missed his Sankirtan spot and went to some other place by mistake, but it was Krishna's arrangement because he met someone who had chant to be happy, and by reading that book, he'd made his own beads and he was chanting regularly. Was he chanting how many rounds? 16? So there you go. You can, just from getting a book, you can like pick up the process and you can make your own beads and you can chant 16 rounds. So it is possible just from the books. But generally speaking, we have to have the sadhu sangha. Therefore, book distribution isn't just about distributing a book. Kripa Mahaprabhu, he's got a nice analysis of book distribution, and he says, it's like, we have this mood, it's like we're going out to conquer people, and then he beats his chest, and it's all about how many books we distribute. But that's not what book distribution is all about. You have to follow up, you have to carry them on their path of devotion, and you have to take them to the temple, and it's a whole cultivation thing, because you can just go out there and distribute lots of books and think, yeah, great, I've done this, so many books, but yeah, you don't follow up. So the whole process, it's the path of devotion. Now, Kandadri Prabhu, he's done a lot of analysis on this. So in January, he's going to start some workshops to follow up on the path of devotion. Because what we want to do is streamline Bhaktivedanta Manor so that however anyone comes to Krishna consciousness, we can pick them from where they are at and take them on a path so that we don't drop them. And then we can take them all the way to the point of chanting 16 rounds, taking initiation, engaging in Krishna consciousness in so many ways, you see. That's the path of devotion. So book distribution is, that's what it is. It's part of that path of devotion. And we have to be very mature about it. And sometimes it means our book score might go down. There's always a temptation. You're on a marathon, you want to get as many books, out, get some points and get up the scoreboard. But sometimes you should take an opportunity. If you're in the mode of goodness, you think, well, the right thing to do in this situation is to actually talk to this person a bit longer to help this person come to Krishna consciousness, because... And it may not result in more book scores, but you've done the right thing. And that's what's pleasing to Krishna. And ultimately, that's our business, to please Krishna, you see. So sometimes it's not about scores, but it's about quality, the way you do things. And I'll just conclude with a little story, which I've told before. Because I was tricky. So when I was a Bhakta Graham, I was in Australasia, and it was 1996, which was the centennial year, Prabhupada's birth. So we had a special book distribution marathon for Christmas. And I was in the ashram in Auckland. And Devarita Swami was there. He'd recently opened up an ashram. So I was doing the marathon. So I found a way how to win the marathon. And it was kind of cheating. But it wasn't really cheating. It was the rules. So what I did was I would make sweet balls. I would go out and sell sweet balls. Maybe twice a week. And then I'd use the money to buy these little booklets. There was the Prabhupada Centennial booklets. Because what I did a calculation. I said, well, if I buy a box of 1,000 booklets, that costs so much. And if I distribute them, I'll get so many book points. And it'll be the equivalent to distributing 100 Bhagavad Gitas. So what I did was, I'd be doing, in terms of book points, I would just go out and distribute these flyers. And it was really easy, booklets. I didn't have to convince anyone to give me any money, and I just used to distribute lots of them. And then I'd come back with the same number of book points as someone who distributed 100 Bhagavad Gitas. So eventually, after 1 month, there's all these book distributors, and they were way, way better than me. They were more empowered at distributing books, but because I used this little tricky method, I managed to win the marathon. So I got a mixed reception for that. Devarita Swami, he said he was proud of me for what I'd done. But there was another sannyasi, Chandrasekhar Maharaj, and he said to me, I hope the next time you can distribute Prabhupada's literature in a way that's more pleasing to him, Because he noticed that a lot of what I distributed ended up in the bin. Because, you know, you distribute in mass distribution and they end up, people just throw them away. Which is a dilemma. Prabhupada said, we take that risk. I mean, you can. There's pros and cons to that. He did say, we take the risk. We understand that by distributing, someone might not appreciate and throw away. He said, we don't want this to happen, but we take that risk. And in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, there's this famous verse, we do not teach Krishna consciousness to those who are not steer, those who are envious, etc. So then the question is, why then do we spread Krishna consciousness to everyone? We don't discriminate. But Prabhupada said it's a risk we take, because we know that there will be innocent people who will hear. And for their sake, we take the risk of offending or aggravating envious people. And there's a name for an envious person. It's Kala. Sarpa Krura Kala Krura. Sarpa Krura Tara Kala. Mantra Shadi Bashi. Mantra Kala Kena Nivaryati. There's a famous verse that says, the snake and an envious person are very dangerous. But of the two, the envious person is harder to tame than the snake. Through mantra or through herb, you can tame a snake, but you cannot tame an envious person. So the word for an envious person is kala. So today's verse, the term jnana kala, it can be interpreted as someone who's envious because they have knowledge and they don't want to distribute. So I'll leave you with one little analogy. If you've got a flowing river, the water's fresh. But if you have a little alcove and the water doesn't move, it stagnates, you see. So we have to always be giving, and if we give, then we receive, we get realizations. So ultimately, food distribution is not just about giving education, it is also education in itself. Because Prabhupada's definition of education, well, Prahlad Maharaj's definition of education, tan manyeditam uttamam, the highest education is shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, etc. The nine processes, that's the highest education. Therefore, distributing Prabhupada's books is itself the highest education for us, if we do it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So thank you very much for tolerating me, and I've run over a little bit, but I've got maybe a few minutes if anyone wants to make any comments or questions or corrections. Thank you. Vishwambar Prabhu.
Thanks, Govinda. The analogy came to mind. Prabhupada gives that analogy of the cow. If he doesn't give him milk, then the cow gets sick.
Okay. You
know? But by giving milk, it generates more milk.
Thank you.
So Prabhupada says a spiritualist is like that. You know, if he gives knowledge, then he generates more knowledge. But if he has a knowledge and he doesn't give it out, then he's doomed to forget everything and he gets sick spiritually.
Thank you.
That's something that always stayed with me. It's in the Bhagavata.
Yes, it's a wonderful analogy. Yes, and our, you know, this Prabhupada said, it's a razor's edge, this Krishna consciousness. But if we get up early in the morning, we have very good sadhana, we distribute Prabhupada's books and we read them, then when we read them, we get wonderful realizations that we wouldn't get if we didn't follow that lifestyle. So we have to be very strict and distribute, and then we'll get the realization ourselves.
Hare Krishna, Govinda Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, is more like an observation of like 56 years of the Hare Krishna movement, where I hear from senior devotees like yourself, we hear so many stories that in terms of book distribution, everyone finds it, not everyone, sorry, most people find it difficult, but there's so much more support now, nowadays, in from devotees like yourself, and there's so many things that we can do, different ways of book distribution. And I remember the times when we used to do book distribution to try and get more Lakshmi for the temple, for maintaining the temple. Like, that's there now, but not as much as how it was before. So there's not that much pressure in terms of just trying to get Lakshmi. It's more about just giving the knowledge. And that's much more easier than trying to worry about giving the knowledge and trying to get the Lakshmi and trying to get so on and so forth. So it's really nice. I'm just very appreciative of devotees like yourself who make it just make it a bit easier for us to do book distribution, because we're not, like, I'm not a book distributor, but I try my best, and it's only because of devotees like yourself and seniors that encourage us to do more for Srila Prabhupada. So yeah, just observation, I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you very much. And my feeling is I'm not personally doing much to help others with book distribution. I do sponsor books, but my feeling is the book distributors, they are helping the Harinam Sankirtan. When they come on the Harinam Sankirtan, it just adds an extra bit of bliss, an extra dimension there. And we go as a team, and it's not easy because Harinam Sankirtan's moving. We're moving, so if we're moving, we have to move at the right pace so that the book distributor doesn't get left behind. But we somehow manage to do it. But my feeling is it's like a synergy. The book distribution and the Harinam Sankirtan, and we do prasad distribution all at the same time, then it just really creates a lovely team atmosphere. And that's a wonderful type of Sankirtan that we should always continue doing. And of course, there's other type of Sankirtan where a book distributor can be on his own and maybe in disguise, and that's another wonderful way to do it. But yeah, but thank you for that. That's a nice observation. Hare Krishna. Harbo.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for the nice class, Rubu. I just had a quick question. Like, when I'm on book distribution, quite a few times I experienced that people, they maybe took the books in the past already, but they kind of either didn't start reading the books, or they didn't have kind of the motivation to read the whole book. And that was one of the reasons as well why I started to do like online songs and trying to stay in touch with them. But I feel like that, as you were mentioning as well, I think in those few minutes which we have with the people on the street, I feel we really need to try to kind of bring about a need within them and like a really strong motivation to actually read the books.
Mm.
So I was just curious on your thoughts on how can we really try to talk to them in a way that we can really bring about this internal motivation I really need to read those books, that's going to help me.
I think someone, there's several book distributors in this class who are far more experienced at that, and I think one of them should answer that question, even Vishram Bar or Pramanava, Keshava Maharaj. How do you actually, you've got a few minutes, how do you actually create that feeling inside the person?
I think nowadays we have all these initiatives, like we have a retreat after this marathon, we have online things they can log on to. For me, I find the most important thing is the relationship between you and them. So ultimately, one distributor was making a statistic that 90% of the time they're buying the book not because they're really that interested in the book, but just because they like you. So that seems to be the main motivating factor that's going to drive them to read the book, is they bought the book because they like you. So they're likely to read the book because they like you. So it really means it's that personal interaction and that's the point Govinda Prabhu was making, that ultimately it only comes together when there's a devotee involved. Bhagavat Sanghi Sanghasya is the most powerful. So.
Thank you. Leave a good impression.
Yeah. What do you do? So how do you encourage people to read the books? That's why it's important for us to be at. And when they, even though they may not take a book, you're there reminding them to read the book they've already got. I mean, mm-hmm. Other than that, there's not a lot you can do. But you're there. The devotees are there. We're making a statement. We're not in the public as much as we used to be. And some devotees say, well, things have changed, you know, times change. But, I don't think the way we do sankirtan should really change. It should expand. But Prabhupada said, If you try something new, but you stop the old thing you're already doing, then what's the point of that? You mean to continue what you're doing, and then you have more devotees, then you try something new, but you continue what's already been done in the past. Then that's the expansion. So yeah, we need to be out there more. And then the people see us, then we just say to them, well, yeah, read the book.
Yeah. But I think if you've got regular Sankirtan throughout the year, then you have these blissful devotees coming back every night from Sankirtan. They've got effulgent faces and they've got these lovely stories to tell, and it just totally lifts up the whole atmosphere of the temple. So that's the thing, we have to try and create a temple like that, and it's a razor's edge. We have to be austere, dedicated, and we can carve out a space where we have regular sacred Sankirtan, which won't be interfered with by any other activities, because there's always a strain on resources. But that's really what we need to do, yeah. Keshava Maharaj.
I just had a quick conspiracy theory. Whether you believe it or not, I think it has a lesson in it. So I'll say the conspiracy theory. So there is this theory out there that basically there's a paper shortage in the world. It seems it's becoming harder and harder to distribute books. And, you know, with the environment, there's a growing kind of thing amongst in the world that, you know, we should be printing less because, there's not enough trees and all that.
Okay. Yeah.
So the conspiracy theory is that this is actually fueled by the government, because what they want to do is they want all books to be electronic, like move all books to e-books and don't have any printed books. And the conspiracy theory is that once you move everything to e-books, if the government ever wants to take something out of circulation, you can just take it out. Basically, you can then begin controlling what everyone reads because it's all electronic information now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the conspiracy theory. But the interesting thing I was thinking is that whether that's true or not, if that would be true, then printed books in the future would be like gold dust. Like, people would be like just running to find a printed book, because where can you get a printed book now?
Okay.
And perhaps if that conspiracy theory is true, that may be one of the reasons why Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas emphasized pumping out as many books as possible. Yeah. But the lesson I think from it is that whether that's true or not, there's the fact that Srila Prabhupada was so emphatic to distribute books, physical books, even though sometimes it may feel like, why, like it doesn't make sense, the world has moved on. There may be factors in the future that we're just totally not aware of that will justify why that so much emphasis was placed on that. So even when it sometimes feels like we're doing so much, we're giving out so much, and we can't see the beginning and the end of it, there is a power to the words of the Acharya.
Thank you. Cool. If anyone needs to leave, we've gone over, but carry on.
Thank you so much. So my question is, I really enjoyed hearing this urgency to actually propagate the books. And I heard this from Vishaka, Mother Vishaka, a few days ago. I asked her, why is it that Prabhupada didn't want us to think about how did we end up here in this conditioned state? And her answer was that Prabhupada equates this with, like, it's not exactly her example, but it's the same example of the burning house. Like, if you're trying to get out, you don't question how did you come here. So I'd like to, just hear from everyone, like, why is it so important right now in this day and age to actually read this? And in terms of in their lives, because I'm just seeking some inspiration as to what to tell people, because normally I just go and say, I just relate with them, and then I say something that pertains to me that I feel like they would understand. But I just never came to me, why is it so important actually right now? On a heightened state.
It's not only is it important actually now, it's the only, our only business all time in the past, all in the future. Our only business is to connect with Krishna, because that's our ultimate nature, right? It's the Jiva Dharma, or the Paradharma, is we're ultimately servants of Krishna. And these books are helping us connect to Krishna. They're helping us to become self-realized, realize who we actually are. So, me, what is book distribution for me? For me, it means one time Prabhupada was on a walk and he pointed to some grass that had dried up and died. And he said, why is it dried up? Why is it dead, this grass? And the answer, you know, people gave so many answers. And Prabhupada said, because it's disconnected from the root. So in the same way, when we disconnect from Krishna, we die. Spiritually, we die. So we're reconnecting people to the root. So that's what this book distribution is. So it's just so important, because it's who we actually are. It's just finding our real nature. Priya Madanga Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi.